court has three matters on its oral submission docket this morning. In the order in which they will be presented, they are as follows. Dallas Merchants and Concessionaires Association and others versus City of Dallas, Dallas County. Enriqueta Guzman versus Julio Guzman from Hidalgo County. And John S. McConnell versus Southside Independent School District and others from Travis County. In the first two causes, the court has allotted 20 minutes to each side to present oral argument. In the final cause, 15 minutes to each side. The petitioner may reserve a designated portion of that time for rebuttal by so advising the marshal of the court. The court will take a brief recess in between the presentation of each oral argument. The court is recording these arguments for its convenience. If you desire to listen to a tape of the arguments, you may make application with the clerk of our court. The court is now ready to hear argument from petitioners in Dallas Merchants and Concessionaires Association versus City.
May it please the court, Mr. Eric Cromartie and Mr. Richard Landon will present arguments for petitioners. Petitioners have reserved 2 minutes for rebuttal. Mr. Cromartie will speak for the first 10 minutes.
Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the court. I represent the Texas Packet Store Association, one of the petitioners in this action. This case presents the issue of whether a city may zone alcohol-related businesses out of existence in contravention of a comprehensive plan of regulation enacted by the state legislature in the form of the Texas Alcoholic Beverages Code and in violation of the explicit Texas constitutional direction that the regulation of alcoholic beverages shall be granted to the legislature and not to home rule cities. Thus, this is not a case where a home rule city looks to the legislature for a specific removal of its powers that are granted under the Home Rule Charter, but instead must look to the legislature for a specific grant of power to regulate the manufacture, distribution, sale, etc., of alcoholic beverages. The purpose of this ordinance cannot fairly be debated. Its avowed goal is to control and to ultimately reduce the number of alcohol-related establishments of all types, extending from grocery stores, convenience stores, to package stores and bars in the South Dallas Fair Park area. The clear and unmistakable evidence of the intent of the legislature to preempt this field begins with the Texas Constitution. Article 16, Section 20, grants to the legislature that exclusive right. It states that the legislature shall have the power to regulate the manufacture, sale, possession, and transportation of intoxicating liquors, including the power to establish a state monopoly on the sale of distilled liquors.
Counsel, can that legislative authority granted by the Constitution be delegated by the Constitution to the city?
It is not delegated, Your Honor, by the Constitution to the city, but it's expressly delegated to the legislature.
By the Constitution. The Constitution grants to the power to the legislature.
The legislature could
and
indeed...
And that power that comes to the legislature by the Constitution grant be transferred to the city by legislative authority.
It certainly could, Your Honor. And indeed, the legislature has addressed that issue as to whether that was its intent. In enacting the Texas Alcoholic Beverages Code, the legislature made plain that it was not its intent to delegate any but express powers to the cities. The preemption clause of the Texas Alcoholic Beverages Code reaffirms the intent of the legislature to preempt this field. It states that unless specifically provided by the code, the manufacture, sale, distribution, transportation, and possession of alcoholic beverages shall be governed exclusively by the code. Now the question then becomes, does that intent to preempt encompass the regulation of location of alcohol-related establishments? There's no Supreme Court precedent on this point, so we look to the plain and best evidence, that is, the express words of the statute. The Texas Alcoholic Beverages Code encompasses the regulation of location from the beginning to the very end. The commission formed under that code is instructed that it shall regulate every phase of the business of manufacturing, importing, et cetera, alcoholic beverages. And that regulation extends specifically to the location at which the business will be conducted. The commission
it seems that broad argument would include that the city could not pass any zoning ordinance applicable to alcoholic stores.
Your Honor, that's exactly what the city has said that we're contending, but that is not the case at all.
Why is that not?
Plainly, the cities have the powers to enact zoning regulations that are general in application, that do not affect the areas preempted by the code, which deal with alcoholic beverages. For example, fire extinguisher requirements, things like that, are plainly permitted. They do not regulate alcoholic beverages. And indeed, there's a line of cases that the city has cited that deal with so-called secondary characteristics. It is not a shield, if you will, to have an alcoholic beverages permit that allows you to conduct any other business that might be prohibited by local zoning. And indeed, the courts have said that, for example, sexually explicit entertainment may be regulated because it's very easy for the alcohol-related establishment to choose. If it chooses to have sexually related businesses on its premises, then it's subject to the local ordinances that relate to that.
Even though those impinge on the business more than the alcoholic beverage code does?
Well, but they don't impinge on the business, Your Honor, of selling, manufacturing, or distributing alcoholic beverages. They relate only to whether or not you can have topless dancers, for example, on the premises. And you could have topless dancers, I assume, in a facility that did not have alcohol. It is simply not an alcohol-related regulation by the city. And non-alcohol-related regulations are permissible. Now, location, though, and the legislature has told us location of alcohol-related businesses is specifically addressed by the Alcoholic Beverages Code. In order to get a permit under the Alcoholic Beverages Code, you must specify a location. That location must be approved by the commission. Indeed, it must be the intent of the licensee to apply for that permit must be posted also in the local area where the location is to be. Some of the briefs in this case have implied that as a result of this ordinance, the alcohol businesses could simply move to another place. That's not permissible under the code. The code says that the permit is specific to the location, and the conduct of the business at that location is restricted. If the person holding the permit desires to move, they will need to reapply, get a new permit, and get their new location approved.
So let me make sure I understand this. The municipality can regulate what you call secondary characteristics, but if there is a general zoning plan in place that says the particular area is residential only, then that can be trumped by the alcoholic beverages.
No, because the Alcoholic Beverages Code has struck a balance between local powers with respect to residential areas. There is a specific grant in the Texas Alcoholic Beverages Code that allows cities to prohibit the sale of liquor in residential areas. So that would be fully permissible. The legislature has balanced those local concerns. Indeed, the legislature has even addressed the manner in which the types of problems addressed by the city or attempted to be addressed by the city in this ordinance are dealt with. The city says they need this ordinance because there are problems with public intoxication, urination on premises, loitering, excessive concentration of alcohol beverage establishments in South Dallas Fair Park. Well, the legislature has already told us how those problems are to be addressed.
Do you contest that those problems exist?
No, we do not contest that those problems exist.
As far as the primary zoning authority of cities, then, as far as any liquor establishment is concerned, one looks exclusively to the Alcoholic Beverage Code and not to the local government code.
In matters relating to the sale of liquor or the distribution of liquor or the location of a liquor establishment, that's correct. In matters that don't pertain to the sale of alcohol, such as setback, fire extinguishers, things like that, that are not alcohol related, you could look to the local governance. Now, to address the point that Justice Heck made, the application of problems such as this is addressed by the Texas Alcoholic Beverages Code, which provides that the commission, and permits, by the way, must be renewed every year. The commission is instructed to consider whether the place in which the applicant conducts his business warrants the refusal of a permit based on the general welfare, health, peace, or morals, whether the premises have been operated, used, or frequented for a purpose or in a manner that is lewd, immoral, or offensive to public decency. So the commission is supposed to consider those problems.
If the problems exist, but the licenses have been granted, does that indicate a failure in that regulatory system?
Not at all. What it indicates, Your Honor, is a failure by the City of Dallas to address this problem in the proper manner. Licenses can be canceled upon application, and the code provides specifically that local input is to be considered. Indeed, the statute, the Texas Alcoholic Beverages Code, specifies that the commission shall give due consideration to the recommendations of public officials, including mayors, city attorneys, city marshals, et cetera, or law enforcement officials. As I said, the legislature has struck a balance in this area. It has stated that there are areas in which the cities can appropriately zone for the location of alcohol-related businesses.
Does just the Constitution prevent the legislature from striking a different balance, that is, from specifically granting to the cities the authority that they claim here?
I don't believe it does. The Constitution in the first instance says that the power to regulate shall be vested in the legislature. The legislature has the power to delegate to cities the authority follow through those powers in a manner specifically delegated by the legislature. And the legislature has given certain restricted powers to the cities to zone location. Justice Heck pointed out one of them, and that is the power to prohibit, or I'm sorry, I believe it was Chief Justice Phillips, the power to prohibit the existence of alcohol businesses in residential areas. They're also given the power to regulate beer sales in commercial areas. They're given the power to regulate the location of bars. They're given the power to regulate prohibit the existence of an alcohol establishment within 300 feet of churches, public schools, or hospitals. What they are not given, and the principle of statutory construction tells us that the exception says that all matters not accepted are preempted, what they are not allowed to do is restrict the location of alcoholic beverages establishments within 300 feet of any residential area, because that is beyond the scope of the powers that are granted to them under the code. And indeed, 300 feet may not sound significant, but if this ordinance is upheld, there is no principal distinction between an ordinance that prohibited alcohol-related establishments within 300 feet of residential areas and one that prohibited them within 30 miles. Indeed, the power to zone for the location of alcohol-related businesses is the power to eliminate businesses. And it would be a strange construction indeed of the Texas Alcoholic Beverages Code, a code that expresses its intent to preempt this field, to allow it to have an exception that gives to local authorities the power to totally gut that preemptive power by prohibiting their existence. And if I may, I would defer the rest of my argument at this stage to Mr. Lannan. Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor. My name is Richard Lannan. I represent the Dallas Merchants and Concessionaires Association, the association of approximately 300 merchants from the South Dallas Fair Park area who originally brought this action. And I'm also from Dallas. At the risk of being redundant, I would first like to emphasize the significance of this case, that this is the first time this precise issue has been brought to this court. The issue of the construction of the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Code in relationship to the Home Rule Act is a case of first impression for this court at this time. Continuing with Mr. Cromarty's argument that this area has been totally preempted by the Constitution and by the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Code, the code is replete with provisions where the legislature has consistently reiterated that this is that any grants of authority to the local authorities are limited to those specific grants, and nothing else in those grants of authority is intended to expand or to limit the legislature's preemption of this area. This conflict between the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Code and the Home Rule Act was pointed out distinctly in the Royer versus Ritter case by the case arising out of Beaumont, where the majority concluded that the city could not require liquor stores to close at 8 o'clock at night rather than 9 o'clock at night as provided by the Alcoholic Beverage Code. This philosophical difference between the interpretation of the two acts was highlighted by the dissent in that case who asserted that there had to be a specific a specific limitation of the local authority's power by the legislative enactment, rather than the total preemption by the TABC and then granting back to the local authorities some limited powers, and as Mr. Cromarty has said, striking a balance for the local authorities in that regulation.
So if a city perceives a problem in this area, it either needs to bring that problem to the attention of the Alcoholic Beverage Commission or go to the legislature and get the statute changed to give it greater authority.
Yes, Your Honor. And the Act does provide, you know, the method for it to take it to the Alcoholic Beverage Commission, and of course the legislature certainly has responded and can respond to the cities and the municipal league's concerns about these particular matters, and it has done so in the past. In 1987 and 1991, the legislature reiterated once again in Section 10957 this preemption, and further reiterated in response to these aberrational Eastland Court of Appeals cases that the legislature intended to preempt this area and did not allow local authorities to impose higher limits on the location or on other standards for alcohol beverage businesses. And we think that this was a significant reiteration of that, of the preemption and the intent of the legislature to preempt this area. Finally, one brief point. Further in 1991, the legislature not only amended the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Code to provide that cities were preempted from imposing higher standards, but they also amended the local government code in dealing with cities' regulation of sexually oriented businesses. In the 1991 amendment, the legislature reiterated that alcoholic beverage uses should not be discriminated against by local authorities and by local zoning ordinances. In conclusion, we would ask this court to reverse the Court of Appeals and order the reinstatement of the district court's injunction prohibiting enforcement of this ordinance.
Any questions? Thank you, Counselor. The court is ready to hear arguments and respondents.
May it please the court. Mr. John Rogers will present the argument for the respondent.
May it please the court, my name is John Rogers. I'm representing the City of Dallas in this case, and my co-counsel who is with me today is Angela Washington. First off, I think it's important to keep the context of the situation in mind when you're reviewing this case, and I'd like to briefly give you a little background on this. South Dallas Fair Park is a very low-income neighborhood in the City of Dallas. It had very inappropriate zoning, and the City of Dallas went through and did a comprehensive study of the area down there in an effort to try to improve the economic and living conditions down there. And the study, this is all discussed in my brief, looked at both the housing, the business development, the zoning, all aspects of that community. And one finding of that study was that there was an excessive concentration of alcohol-related businesses in that area. And just to give you an idea of how excessive that concentration of alcohol-related businesses were, in Defendant's Exhibit 5, Table 17, you'll notice that the market saturation for liquor businesses was 1,545%, meaning that there are 150 times more liquor-related businesses down there than that community needed. It's a situation that we felt needed to be addressed. We then passed a D1 zoning overlay on a portion of the South Dallas community. The D1 overlay simply means that those businesses that are there already become non-conforming uses. They can continue to operate indefinitely unless someone asks that use be terminated. If that use is terminated, then a hearing is held to determine what the amount of time for the owner's investment in that business is.
Who would ask?
Any individual, a citizen. A time period
counsel,
is given for that.
petitioner contends that the City of Dallas has no authority to regulate the sale of alcoholic beverages, and that that has been preempted by the code. What is your response directly to that one?
Okay, my response to that is there's two recent cases in which this court has addressed preemption of city ordinances by state statutes, and those are the Richardson versus Dog Owners case, which is at 794 Southwest 2nd 17. And in that case, you said that the mere fact that the legislature has enacted a law addressing a subject does not mean that the subject is completely preempted. A statute and an ordinance will not be held repugnant to each other if any reasonable construction upholding both can be reached. And the other case in which you've addressed this is Brookside Village versus Comeau, C-O-M-E-A-U, and that is at 633 Southwest 2nd 790. And in that case, you said the entry of the state into a field of legislation does not automatically preempt that field from city regulation. Local regulation, ancillary and in harmony with the general scope and purpose of the state enactment, is acceptable. Under those two standards, what you need to do is look at the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Code and compare it with Chapter 211 of the Local Government Code, which is the zoning authority for cities. And I think there's several places that indicate that while the TABC regulates the manufacture, distribution, possession, sale of alcohol, cities still have the authority to zone for the location of alcohol. And
would
let me give you some...
Would it be possible to pass an ordinance that prohibited establishments from within 30,000 feet instead of 300?
No. I think the answer to that is that all zoning ordinances on their own must be reasonable. It can't be arbitrary. I think if you had a zoning ordinance that said that no alcohol-related use could be within 30 miles of a residential district, would be arbitrary and unreasonable, because that would prohibit the alcohol-related businesses anywhere within the City of Dallas.
But you could extend the zone far enough that it would be very difficult for a business to be placed anywhere except in the middle of an industrial park, basically.
Well, yes, but there are cases that address that situation. If a zoning ordinance relegates certain uses to areas of land that are totally unusable, that can't actually be used, then that zoning ordinance is arbitrary and unreasonable. The issue that you're driving at is whether the zoning ordinance is reasonable or not. That is not something that they've challenged. Their challenge is that the ordinance has been preempted by the Alcoholic Beverage Code. And there's several indications that tell us that the zoning authorities of cities have not been preempted by the Alcoholic Beverage Code. First, I'd ask you to look at Section 211.003 of the Texas Local Government Code, which says that cities can regulate the location and use of buildings and land for business, industrial, and residential purposes. It's an express grant from the legislature of the authority to zone for the location. And this section was passed in 1927, which was several years earlier than the preemption clause of the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Code. That was passed in 1935.
Well, then the contention might be that the Alcohol Beverage Code repealed that in part or modified that pre-existing statute.
I think what you need to do is look at the two statutes and see if there's any reasonable construction that will leave both in effect. And when one statute says that we have authority to zone for location, and the TABC says that it preempts the manufacture, distribution, sale, and possession of alcohol, that is the crucial distinction that this court needs to make, is between zoning for location and regulating the business. And the reason that I think that Courtney was decided the way that it was is because that ordinance actually went in and regulated the way in which the business was operated. It's the distribution of the alcohol. They required revenue greater than food. Our ordinance does not have any sort of regulation on the manner or that the business is operated. It's purely on the location of the business.
And that is not regulation?
Well, it is a zoning regulation, yes. But it is not a regulation of the manufacture, distribution, possession, and sale of alcohol. That's the crucial distinction.
Doesn't the Alcoholic Beverage Code say expressly, though, what types of zoning a city may undertake?
In 109.31? Yes, and the reason that does not preempt the zoning authority of cities is that the cities have all powers that they need to regulate the city and control the city unless they're expressly prohibited by the legislature. If there's an express grant of authority in 109, 31, 32, and 33 to control the location of certain uses, that does not preempt our zoning authority in general. It's merely a reiteration of the zoning authority that we have anyway.
But can't that express grant together with other language that indicates preemption? Shouldn't those be read together to preempt the city's plenary zoning power?
Yes, except that a preemption of our zoning authority cannot be, should not be read into a statute by implication. And I think that at best, that you can get out of those three sections is that it preempts it by implication. It is not an express preemption.
There are other sections that say the PABC is to be the complete regulation of alcohol. What do we do with those? One was passed as recently as 5 years ago.
Right. Those are... give the TABC exclusive authority to regulate the manufacture, distribution, possession, and sale of alcohol, but not the location, zoning location. Let me give you another example that indicates to me why the legislature has not preempted the zoning authority of cities. If you look at Texas Local Government Code Section 211.0035, it's a relatively new provision that says that cities cannot require a specific use permit for pawn shops. That statute has preempted a certain zoning aspect of our power in regard to pawn shops. If the legislature had wanted to do the same thing for alcohol-related businesses, they would have amended Section 211, the zoning authority, to expressly state that, the way they did with pawn shops. But they haven't.
Council, and I don't understand. Regulation of sale is not including zoning.
Well, there's
place of sale is the important thing about sale, isn't it? When you're talking about regulating sale, can they regulate whether it's for cash or credit? Is that the regulation of sale or the place of sale?
No, it does not cover place. And Section 1.06, the general preemptive provision of the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Code, has been on the books since 1937. And there's some 26 cases which are cited in the petitioner's brief, and those all uphold the zoning authority of cities, even though the TABC has preempted the area of manufacture, distribution, and sale. And the reason for that, and there's cases cited in our brief that say this, the Massengale, Moore, SDJ case, Clute, Eckert, Tritico, all these cases say that zoning has no relation to the liquor laws, and that the TABC is not a limitation on the home rule, the powers of home rule cities. So the old cases clearly state that the preemptive provisions of the TABC do not preempt the zoning authority of cities. The distinction is between location, zoning for location, or controlling the actual method and manner in which the business is operated. And I think if you look at the Courtney case, that illustrates that beautifully, that distinction. Let me give you some other examples of things that I think indicate that the TABC has not preempted the area of zoning. If you look at Texas Alcoholic Beverage Code, Section 11.38C, it's a section that's been on the books since 1935, and it says, nothing in this code shall be construed to grant any political subdivision the authority to regulate TABCs, except by collecting fees. That, you could argue, is some sort of general preemption. However, if you look at the Banknote Club case, the parties in that made the same argument that petitioner is making today, that any city ordinance that obstructs, burdens, or interferes with the operation of a TABC-permitted business has been preempted. And the court in that case said, no, that the TABC does not preempt the zoning for the location. It only preempts the manufacture, sale, possession, and distribution.
If the commission considers location and issuing licenses, isn't that the same kind of consideration that the city is making in the zoning ordinance and therefore in some conflict?
Well, my response to that, I guess, is that obviously in this situation that we're dealing with, in granting licenses to people, they have not undertaken any sort of control of the concentration of the businesses. But in this area, there obviously was an excessive concentration of businesses, and they don't do any sort of zoning function to disperse those businesses.
What is the history of Dallas in getting involved at the permit stage and contesting the issues of a permit in these locales?
We have not been very active in the past in contesting permits. We are trying now to becoming more active in contesting the permits. But one of the problems that I understand is that the TABC hearings are held in Austin, not in Dallas, so there's no local participation from people. And the TABC generally has not been very responsive to our requests to cancel people's licenses.
What sort of notice do you get when there's a permit applied for in a particular area? Do you get any other than publicly posted notices?
I'm sure there is a notice of some time, but
Is there any notice published in the local community?
Yes, I'm sure there is. I don't know.
In other words, does the city get any official notice that someone has applied for this permit to open a bar or something in this particular area?
Well, yes, we do. If you look at the Texas Alcohol... I'm sorry, what?
You could respond. You have notice. You could respond to it.
Yes, we could. But whether someone, whether their license is renewed or not, turns on the issue of whether they, the manner in which they've been operating the business. Do they sell to minors? Have they been selling over hours and things like that? It doesn't really go to the issue of is that location, zoning location, appropriate. And if you look at the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Code section 11.37 and section 61.37, they say in there that the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Code or commission will check with the city if the location where they're about to issue a license is permitted by an, or prohibited by an ordinance. So those two sections right there imply that they do acknowledge the validity of our zoning ordinances, and they check with us first to see if it does comply with the zoning ordinances.
They will check with you, but is there any mandatory language that they comply with the ordinance? Checking with you and complying with you.
Yes, they have to comply with the ordinance. If we respond to them by saying that location is prohibited by ordinance, then they don't issue the license.
Is there a language in the statute that says that they may not issue the license if it conflicts with the ordinance?
Yes. Well, 1137 and 61.37 say that if the location is prohibited by ordinance, they won't issue the license.
It says they won't or says they may not. This says they consider it. What is the exact language?
What is the exact language? I don't have the exact language in front of me, but it says that prior to issuing a license, they will check with us to see if that location is prohibited by ordinance.
But it doesn't say they may not issue, even if it is prohibited.
Right, but I believe that their practice is not to issue a license if it's prohibited by an ordinance.
One way you state it, it's absolutely, it requires compliance with
right.
the ordinance. Another way you state it, it says, well, they've got to consider that, but they don't have to comply with it necessarily. And you're saying, well, their practice and what the law requires may be two different things.
Yes, but the sections I said to you says that they check with us to see if the location is prohibited by ordinance. That's all that it says in that section, and
but
I believe that their practice.
They cannot, even if it is.
No, but I don't believe that their practice is to issue a license if it's in violation of one
again,
of our ordinances.
Practice and law may be two different things. Is it a policy statement that says, hey, let's try to work with the local community to cooperate as best we can? You're not absolutely prohibited from issuing a license if they have an ordinance that prohibits this in this area, but it's something you ought to consider in the licensing process.
I don't think it's just something that they consider. The wording of it suggests that it is mandatory for them to look at it. Hold on. Thank you. city secretary or clerk of the city in which the application for a permit is made shall certify whether the location or address given by the applicant is in a wet area and whether the sale of alcoholic beverage for which the permit is sought is prohibited by charter or ordinance.
That's
what it says.
doesn't give any indication of how the commission should respond.
But the reason that I cite that to you is that it indicates that if the statutes under which the TABC operates acknowledges that city ordinances will control the location of alcohol-related businesses.
I'm not sure that precise language. I don't want to be argumentative with you. We'll look at it later. I'm not sure that precise language indicates city control so much as comity.
Well, it's when you look at all the sections of the TABC with all the sections under 211 of the local government code, I think you'll come to the conclusion that that distinction between zoning for location and regulation of the manufacturer distribution has been preserved by the legislature and that they have not eliminated that distinction. And this section that I cite to you is just further indication that they acknowledge that a zoning ordinance may control the location of where a business is going to locate. Finally, I guess I've only got about 5 minutes. I'd like to address section 109.57 and how that applies to this case. Section 109.57, the first section says the city cannot impose stricter standards. The second says that the city cannot discriminate. In this case, our ordinance does not impose stricter standards or discriminate against these businesses. All it merely requires that if they want to locate in a area with a D1 overlay, they must obtain a specific use permit. And the specific use permit is just an opportunity for the city to review it to ensure compatibility with surrounding uses. And the criteria that we've established for obtaining a specific use permit are that the use be screened from adjoining residential uses, traffic from the use not enter onto residential streets, things like that. It's strictly zoning sort of considerations. We don't tell them what times they can operate, what their revenues have to be, anything like that. So our ordinance does not impose any stricter standards. And I think you need to bear in mind also that alcohol-related businesses are not the only type of businesses that are required to obtain a specific use permit. There's quite a few types of businesses that are required to obtain a specific use permit. And I would refer you to the amicus brief that was filed by the Texas Municipal League. It has a listing of court cases in which the requirements for specific use permits have been upheld. And that covers a variety of type of uses, from rock quarries to churches to schools to offices, etc. The purpose of the specific use permit is merely to ensure compatibility between that use and surrounding properties. So,
any questions?
Thank you very much.
No reasonable construction of this ordinance that would find it in harmony with the scheme of regulation of location that is provided in the Texas Alcoholic Beverages Code and mandated by the Texas Constitution. Now, counsel stated that the specific use permits he tried to make them sound like they're essentially a procedural requirement that is no burden at all. The mere imposition of the requirement that you apply for an SUP imposes a stricter standard on a business required to have a permit under the code. Indeed, a simple hypothetical illustrates that. You have two restaurants. One chooses to serve alcoholic beverages, one chooses not to. The business choosing to serve alcoholic beverages under the city's plan must apply for a specific use permit, which the trial court found to be a time-consuming and expensive process and one that was essentially doomed to failure under the guidelines that are established by the city. The city's lawyer has led you to believe that the specific use permit guidelines simply dealt with things like screening. That is simply not true. The record reflects that the specific use permit is not to be granted under the city's guidelines if the business is located within 1,000 feet of any public or private school, church, daycare center, neighborhood serving park or community center, and I think that goes directly to the point that Justice Heft made, which is that what the city has tried to do here, and the numbers reflect this, that 300 of 350 alcohol-related establishments in South Dallas were posted for termination. What the city in reality is doing is attempting to zone this area dry.
Mr. Martin, how about the argument made by the city's attorney that one of the requirements in this process of getting permits is that the city has to certify that the locations to what area, and that necessarily proves or implies that the city, that the statute, the legislature gave the city the power to locate, to regulate locations?
Well, to the contrary, Your Honor. I think what that indicates is simply that the commission recognizes that certain powers have been delegated by the legislature to local authorities with respect to, for example, zoning a residential area. You can't locate an alcohol-related establishment in a residential area if the city has zoned it residential and said you can't have alcohol-related establishments there. And the local option vote of wet or dry is one granted not to cities, not to the state legislature, but granted by the Constitution to the smallest political subdivision applicable. So the people decide whether an area is wet or dry. If an area is dry, no permit can be issued there. But the important point, I think, is as Justice Gamish pointed out, the city is aware by statute of every application for a permit, has its opportunity to state its objections and have them considered by the commission, and chose in this case not to do that. When confronted with an ordinance that is in violation, the applicant has no choice but to do what was done in this case, which is to take it to the district court and challenge it for its lack of constitutionality.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
That concludes the arguments in the first call. The court will now take a brief recess.
Your Honor, please rise.